You went on to form Tempo Television.
Yes.
What did that do?
We had a satellite transponder. We had a studio here in Tulsa. We used the Atlanta uplink to play programming. But when we approached programmers, we said, look, if your program's so good, you pay me an hourly rate and you sell the advertisers. We basically went after international programming. So our prime time was a movie from GOMO, which is the French equivalent of one of our movie studios, in French, with English subtitles at the bottom. They bought prime time every night. Sunday morning, we sold to the ministers that wanted satellite distribution and couldn't get on the CBN cable network or on the other one that was up there. So Sunday morning was actually the highest rate we had per hour.
Really?
Therefore, we had so many religious clients that wanted it, they just kept bidding it up.
Did Oral, was he in on that?
He didn't buy time with us, no. I think he was getting on one of those other networks. We had a morning show. This is Japan. It looked like Today's Show, NBC. It was Today in Japan, hosted by the wife of one of our GIs in English, interviewing Japanese people, and you learned all about Japan.
And that was of interest to an American audience?
To some people. It helped the cable industry a lot because, well, like GOMO, there were 4 million people in America who knew French and could watch a French movie in French. That wasn't enough in any one theater. Well, they did have theaters that played French movies in both L.A. and New York in French language. But we basically looked for good shows from different countries and put them on that way. We didn't buy any programming, but we worked with individual American producers. There was a guy in town by the name of Terry Phipps. He did fishing shows, and we actually bought his production company and made the fishing shows ourselves. And we had a lot of other fishing shows that would buy time on the network. It wasn't just his. So we were pretty well doing that type of thing, doing a lot of outdoor stuff, because we could use his crews to go shoot travel, you know, the beaches of the Florida Gulf Coast type of things.
You also did home and garden shows?
Yep.
Cooking shows?
Yep.
Were you in on the ground floor of creating a program?
No. If it's a good idea, they could buy the time, and they knew the people to sell advertising to, and if they couldn't, then they didn't get on the air.
Right.
Our judgment was strictly, yes, we wanted to look at the show and be satisfied that it was good to be on the network. But then they had to bid for the time. If they wanted to take it in the middle of the night, they could come to being almost free.
Who was the committee, you and others, who decided this program?
I had a young couple that had been heart and guts of my marketing for Turner. Kip Farmer and his wife Lynn took over that network and really did the work for it. They had a young person in L.A. and a young person in New York making the contacts with the programmers.
And they would decide what they felt was good.
Yeah.
You said you took these programs from overseas. Americans then were looking at this and say, oh, we want to get in on that?
Well, a lot of people were closed out from distribution.
Okay.
Because Turner wasn't going to do a fishing show. How could they get on satellite?
Right. But Tempo answered that question.
Yeah.
That problem.
Mm-hmm. It also launched a lot of things. We had some morning shows from a guy who was actually the public relations manager of our National Cable Television Association, Bob Johnson, black man. He created the Black Entertainment Television Network. For the first 2 years, they occupied 1 hour, then 4 hours on our network. And then he got his own transponder and left. We did the same thing with a religious gal by the name of Mother Angelica. She ran a little Catholic school where the women are. Today, she is on 165 different satellite systems in the world and is available to something like 1 billion people worldwide. The Catholic Church themselves has a network, and they're only in about 560 million homes. She's twice as big, and the little nuns still run that network.
You gave her a start.
Yeah, because she went to my attorney to see how she could get on satellites. He convinced her to do an hour or two on our network and then eventually buy her own channel when she had enough people paying her to really afford it. She didn't have to knock on doors for contributions to try to stay on the satellite.
There was a proposal to start a new channel called Discovery. Did you jump on that opportunity?
Yes and no. We gave them some time when there were only 12 channels available. One of those was our Tempo channel. So Discovery went on our network for a while. And then when the second satellite came along and the industry went from 12 channel to 24, they got their own channel and left. But it did a lot of good. The interesting thing is when John Ballone bought my company, first thing he did was turn around and sell that channel to NBC for $30 million. We had lost $2 million before we had it up and running and profitable. And we financed it entirely with the cash flow from our WTBS business.
And you started the first advertising-supported cable channel, which evolved into CNBC.
Well, that's when we sold NBC. When I sold the company to John Ballone.
To John Ballone.
For stock. All my stockholders got stock in his stock, including I did.
So that happened?
Yeah, right away. I stuck with him for a year, and he had me sell off things.
John Ballone?
Yeah. If it hadn't been that he owned it, I probably would have only gotten $10 million from somebody, but since it was John Ballone.
You're having fun, aren't you? Huh?
Oh, yeah. Well, I think you'll see in that newspaper story, my employees got to call on all these other companies, Taylor's Toys.